Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Christmas is returning to the Rhode Island State House. The annual tree lighting ceremony is scheduled for Thursday, and Governor Lincoln Chafee has declared that this year it will be a Christmas tree, not a holiday tree. Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports that negative attention from national media and activists led to the governor's change of heart.
After coming in for intense criticism last year over calling the State House tree a holiday tree instead of a Christmas tree, Governor Lincoln Chafee is bowing to public pressure. This year, the 17-foot conifer will be called a Christmas tree. Chafee said the tree issue had become too much of a distraction and a focal point for anger.
When I took office, I said, do what they did last year. And for some reason, people took offense, and previous governors didn't have any issue with it. They called it a holiday tree. But nonetheless, I want to get the focus back on real issues that people really care about.
For the past 2 years, Chafee called the State House tree a holiday tree in a nod to Rhode Island's religious diversity and its founding by Roger Williams as a haven of tolerance. Critics angrily denounced the choice of words, saying the governor was part of a conspiracy to secularize the holiday. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Secretary of State Ralph Mollis will preside over the tree lighting ceremony on Thursday while Governor Chafee is out of state addressing students at Princeton University. Getting or renewing a professional license in Rhode Island is going to be a lot easier in the future. The state has put applications for all 69 occupations and licenses online. The new system will affect some 45,000 people. Paul McGreevy, director of the Department of Business Regulation, says accessing the system is as easy as a couple clicks of the mouse.
They should go to dbr.ra.gov, our website, and they will see, when they look at that, they'll see a little box on the right that says, I need a license. If they click on that, it takes them to the page that allows them to choose which license that they are looking for.
McGreevy says the e-licensing system has been a work in progress for the last 2 years. It's part of Governor Lincoln Chafee's commitment to make doing business in Rhode Island easier. The new mayor of Woonsocket, Lisa Baldelli-Hunt, is slated to be inaugurated this evening. And as Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis reports, Baldelli-Hunt is taking on the job after winning 4 terms as a state representative.
House Speaker Gordon Fox plans to swear in Baldelli-Hunt during a 7 p.m. ceremony at the Stadium Theater in Woonsocket. Her uncle, Charles Baldelli, a former mayor in the city, will emcee the event. Baldelli-Hunt beat 2-term Republican Mayor Leo Fontaine in an election last month. The change comes as Woonsocket continues to wrestle with financial problems. Baldelli-Hunt will resign her House seat prior to her inauguration. A special election to fill that seat is planned for February. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
And the Narragansett man accused of murdering his mother and then mutilating her body remains in custody after his arraignment in Washington County Superior Court. Channel 12 reports that 46-year-old Robert Taylor pleaded not guilty to several charges in connection with the death of Allison Taylor last May. Police say they found the woman's body in a trash bin after going to her apartment to question Robert Taylor about thefts from a local church. Police say Taylor tried to slash his wrists while being questioned. It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. College students have long been known to experiment with drinking when they're blowing off steam and even use drugs sometimes like marijuana. But a growing number of college students are now turning to prescription drugs to get ahead academically. The drugs, like Adderall, are used legally to treat conditions like attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, and they're increasingly common on college campuses across the country. At the University of Rhode Island, psychology professor Lisa Wyant has been studying this disturbing new trend, and she joins me now to talk about what she's finding. Lisa Wyant, good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
So just how common is this phenomenon? I mean, you teach college students, so when you look out at one of your classes, how many of the students there are likely to have at least tried a drug like Adderall?
Well, based on our research, examining 22 different studies, we found a range. We found a range from 5% to 35% of college students report misusing prescription stimulants.
But the bottom line here is that up to a third or more of students have at least tried these drugs, according to your research.
According to my research and other research, that's true. By the time a student is a senior, it's estimated that perhaps one in three have at least tried a prescription stimulant.
And why would students who don't have ADHD want to use a drug like Adderall?
That's a good question. And the number one reason that students report misusing Adderall or Ritalin is to enhance their academic performance. So in their minds, they think if they are improving their attention or increasing their concentration, that that will translate to better exam performance, higher quality of work on a paper, higher final examination grades, and so on. There was a recent study published at the University of Puget Sound in 2013 where some chemistry professors decided to examine waste product from the dormitories. So Adderall and Ritalin, when they're metabolized by the body, you can measure those metabolites in waste product. And they found that during finals week, compared to low-stress weeks, like the first few weeks of classes, that during finals week, there was a 760% increase in the metabolites of these substances compared to low-stress weeks.
I see. So you've fallen a little bit behind. You need to cram for that next exam, and you think, I'll just pop a pill, and that'll help me focus. But Lisa Wayan, is there any evidence to suggest that these drugs can improve academic performance for people using them who don't have ADHD?
Well, we know that for students who do have ADHD, that these medications can be extremely effective at improving their attention, decreasing their impulsivity, and decreasing their hyperactivity, and helping with their executive function skills. With college students who do not have ADHD, it remains an empirical question. These students think that it is helping them, because clearly, if a student takes Adderall, chances are very good that they will be able to focus and maintain their attention longer. What we don't know is if that prolonged attention translates into better quality work, greater reading comprehension, improved memory, higher grades, better exam performance. We simply don't have those answers.
Is there a danger to students who are using these drugs?
There are risks associated, clearly, with misusing these drugs. It's a central nervous system stimulant, so it increases heart rate, it increases your blood pressure, it increases difficulty with sleeping. Many students report that they have difficulty maintaining weight because they lose weight because it's an appetite suppressant, increases their irritability, so that causes social problems. And also, if they take too high of a dose, it can interfere with their ability to concentrate, much like a person if they drink a triple espresso or two triple espressos, the person will become agitated, they can't focus. I've had a college student tell me that he was distracted by the number of hairs on his arm and found himself counting those compulsively. So there are definitely side effects and risks that are associated with the medication if they're not taken as prescribed. Between 2005 and 2015, emergency room visits jumped from 5,000 cases that were involving prescription stimulant misuse to 15,000 cases that involved prescription stimulant misuse. And in those cases, 45% of them had also been using alcohol or other illicit substances, which is another grave concern about students misusing these substances.
So it's not just to get ahead academically, it's also to party harder.
Right. The main reason is to get ahead academically, but then there's another group of students who do use these substances recreationally. So they use them so that they can stay up and drink longer or to get high or out of curiosity.
What do students tell you about this trend? I mean, do they think it's cheating or do they think it's perfectly fine for another student to try to enhance their academic performance through this type of drug?
Depends on which students you ask, but that's a rather fascinating question because there was a study that was done at George Washington University recently, and they created two scenarios and posed this to the students. In one scenario, they asked the students, a student does not have ADHD, and they're taking Adderall to enhance their academic performance. Another student is an athlete, and he is taking steroids to improve his athletic performance. And the results were astounding, that the college students who participated in this study did not regard the student who was taking Adderall as cheating, but they did regard the student who was taking steroids as cheating.
Why do you think that might be?
I think there are a couple reasons. I think one, unfortunately, it's becoming part of a college norm. They're seeing their friends misuse Adderall or Ritalin. And also, they seem to think that there's a difference between physical performance and cognitive performance. My son's 13 years old, and I was having this conversation with him today in the car, and I asked him if he thought it were cheating if a middle school, he's in eighth grade, if a middle school student were taking Adderall to study or to take an exam. And he thought that if they were studying, that that wouldn't be a problem because his friends do other things to improve their studying, like listen to music while they're studying. So I think that tells us a little bit about how middle school students think. And given that it's estimated about 4% of middle school and high school students have tried Adderall, I think that tells us that's a great place for intervention and prevention and education.
Well, Lisa Wyant from the University of Rhode Island's Department of Psychology, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.